All right, time now for all things Gators, all things orange and blue. Dan Hicken and Frank Frangie. What's up, Hick?
A lot is going on, and we thank our friends at Southeast Orthopedic Specialists here in Jacksonville. Visit se-ortho.com for all the information that you need if you're having any kind of pain in your knees or ankles or shoulders or elbows. Yeah. Those guys will take care of you and take care of you expeditiously. So the bowl game comes and goes.
Yeah.
All year on this podcast, we talked about how much fun we're having.
Right.
That wasn't fun, Frank. I almost texted you and said, I'm not really having fun watching this debacle.
Yeah, I'm probably a bad fan. You can feel free to admonish me because I've admonished you plenty on this stuff.
Yes.
So feel free. I don't know if I'm getting older or it's because I'm getting older. I guess I am getting older. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. That one didn't devastate me. I it wasn't any fun. I told you
they were going to lose.
You did. And you don't want to see your team get rolled.
And I saw it coming from a mile away.
But I guess once I realized who wasn't playing, that it was going to be hard for them to win the game, I did want it to be more competitive. But I didn't walk away from the game mad at Mullen, mad at them. I didn't feel that way. Maybe I should have because a lot of my Gator buddies did now.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'm in the minority here. But that is how I felt.
Gator Nation is gets pissy when they lose.
Yeah.
And when they lose big, they get really pissy.
Right.
And when they lose three in a row to the end of the season, that's the disappointment. As opposed to how he probably sees it look is, which we went toe-to-toe with Alabama. We lost by 6 points. What more do you want?
Yeah.
Well, they want to win the SEC. They want to trade punches with Bama and beat them. And he feels like he's probably getting them there. He's probably feeling a little bit unloved right now, but he does. Dan Mullen is, of course, who we're talking about. I'm not going to admonish you. I didn't feel awful. I saw it coming, so I was sort of prepared.
Right.
But I feel like you take your lead from the coach, and I feel like the coach, from the moment the SEC championship game ended,
right,
there was sort of excuses being made.
He said this team will never be together again.
Yeah, and I didn't like that. Yeah. I didn't feel like that, where as opposed to the first two bowl games where I felt like, there was a lot at stake. And it's still it would be nice to win all three New Year's Day six bowls and then make the next step. They got rolled. Oklahoma looked to me like sort of like Ohio State for Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you remember how Justin Fields had a huge game against Clemson. You remember how they were saying, well, he didn't have Chris Olave for the other two. Well, Trask was without four.
Well, and see, that was the thing.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't care that they got beat in the game. I didn't care. Even Oklahoma fans got on me. Well, I don't care, Oklahoma fan. It didn't bother me that much. What concern? I mean, I thought they had a great year. When you take Nick Saban, when Nick Saban is sweating in the last minute of the game, thankful the game ended, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick Saban doesn't spend a lot of moments in the last hoping his team holds on.
Yeah.
So it was a good year. It wasn't a great year. I told you this before the game. Even if they lost 3 in a row and finished 8-4, it wouldn't be a pedestrian year to me. Mm-hmm. It'd be a good year that they just didn't finish well. So losing the game I'm okay with. And I'm going to talk about a couple plays in the game in a minute.
Okay.
What concerns me isn't the game, is next year. Those receivers were terrible. What concerns me is who's catching. I mean, and look, Xavier Henderson and Frazier's are going to have a year with Nick Savage, and they're going to be bigger and stronger because they both look very thin to me. And they'll be
Copeland will be back.
Copeland will be back.
Zipper is going to be good. He had a big drop, but
that was the biggest play of the game.
I know.
I was going to tell you that the biggest play of the game. It's 24-13.
Yeah.
3 minutes to play in the half. Florida's got a little momentum. Yeah. Third down, post pattern.
Yeah.
Right on the button.
Right.
Catch it. It's first down at the 20.
Sure.
2.5 to play.
Yeah. You get the touchdown.
It's 24-20. You're getting the ball.
Half.
Worst case is 24-16. You're getting the ball.
Right.
That was a gigantic drop.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Shorter dropped some. Zipper dropped some others. Gamble couldn't catch anything. And I'm wondering. As you move forward, it's new now.
Yeah.
Emory Jones is going to be your quarterback.
Yeah.
He and Richardson will battle it out. New receivers. Heggie's gone. Forsyth is gone. This is DeLance is gone, even though he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
This is new now. So when it's going to be new, I wanted to see the guys who are part of that newness play well. That's what concerned me the most.
But it's great that they got out there and played.
Oh, I agree.
And in a football team, as you know, and one of the things I was thinking about is, as a football team, as you know, the kid who's the backup is never happy.
Right.
I don't care where you are. And I should be playing. So in one respect, Well, you played and look how you did. So right. maybe that's you shouldn't have been played. So maybe you better work your ass off this
Correct.
This offseason if you want to
I agree with that.
Play to the standard that we expect around here. I mean, there's yeah. at least a little of that going forward.
That's what concerned me the most.
You don't think the guys replacing the guys who are there are going to be good enough next year to compete?
The evidence
and
suggests
win.
They're not. No, I know there's more to it than that. Yeah. It was one game and they didn't practice very
well,
much.
I got in this argument with somebody. So you tell me, how did you think Emery did?
I thought Emery was just okay.
See, I thought he was better than that.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about Emery.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not thinking, oh, my
He's
God.
He's not doing what Trask did. Yeah. You have right. to remember that this was a transcendent offense.
Yeah.
This was a 96-08-20 offense.
Yeah, and look, I thought Emery was just okay. But that's not fair.
Right.
Yeah, I hear you. He's.
I mean, if Shorter catches the one down the sidelines, he laid right in his hands
right in
for about 40.
And I think when it's Emery's team,
yeah.
he's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about quarterback.
I'm not either.
I just want the receivers. I mean, I'm thinking that when you go three wide on a tight end next year,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's going to be Copeland, Frazier's, Henderson, maybe Rick Wells.
Whittemore
and Gamble and
I can't imagine Rick Wells is back for another year.
Why? Where, what else are you going to do?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's got
how many years is he going to be there?
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah.
he's not going to the league. But whoever it is,
yeah.
I just worry a little bit about the now. Look, he's always he's found offense no matter where he's been.
Yeah,
he's found offense, so I think he'll find it. But that concerns me.
Let's hope that the Clemson transfer running back is a
Baldwin,
player.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. The apparently what. I think the defense will be better. I'm going to get to the two assistant coaches. It's got to be a little bit better.
Can't be worse.
Apparently, the JUCO linebacker,
yeah.
DeJuan Black,
yeah.
is one hell of a player.
Who wants to be there?
Yeah, he's going to be there. I mean, he's one hell of a. Apparently, they'll build the linebacking core around him.
Good.
So apparently, he's a really good player. I like that Zachary Carter's coming back.
Yep.
I think Kyrie Elam's a good player.
Well, the kid from Palmetto will probably start a corner.
You would think.
He's awful good by all accounts. So.
Yeah. So you hope. The defense is better.
Wouldn't mind getting the kid from Jacksonville on Saturday. Right. He chose Ohio State.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. But hey, let me tell you this.
Yes, sir.
I'll say this. It was a really good year. It had some holes.
Yeah.
You know, the Malik Davis fumble.
Beat Georgia and won the East.
Beat Georgia and won the East. But, Dan, I think what he has now done is he's elevated them into the land of the elite.
Yeah.
They were not elite for a long time.
I think this. I think Florida's a top 10 program.
Right.
We want them in the top four. The college football playoff's been around a while. It's time for Florida to break through and get in there. But there's a bigger story here that's bubbling that we need to address and you need to get to.
And I'll get to that one second. Before I get to that bigger story, final thought. I was on with Shane Matthews today, his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
Frank, how you doing?
Shane's my boy. I love Shane.
He's a great man.
But he asked me, he said, are you concerned about this and depth? I said, Shane, I think there's 129 FBS programs. I think that's the number.
Mm-hmm.
I think Florida's program is in better shape than 123 of them.
Okay.
I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Okay, if you're in better shape than 123 of the 129, and your coach is only in his third year, you're probably pretty good. Now, the gap between where Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, maybe even Georgia is...
Those three.
Yeah,
I'm not putting Georgia there.
So, okay, the gap between those three, and there might be Georgia, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, that I'm not saying you're even with yet, but whoever.
Right.
My point is, you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there. You're in the top six or seven programs playing. I truly believe that. And next year's a critical year because next year's his first real transition year.
Yeah.
There was still the 20 team felt like the 19 team. The 19 team felt like the 18 team.
Yeah.
The 21 team will feel different.
Yeah.
This is his first real transition team, at least for me.
I don't disagree with that. All right. Do you want to talk about the head coach or the assistants first?
You go.
My question to you is this. I'll start it with a question. Does Dan Mullen want to be the coach at the University of Florida?
Yeah, I think he does. I think Dan's an ornery guy.
There's no doubt about that.
Is Dan going to one day be in the NFL? I think so.
Yeah.
Most of the coaches who flirt with it, Steve Spurrier, Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, Pete Carroll, pick your guy, wind up trying it.
Does he feel unappreciated at the University of Florida from his vantage point?
I don't know him well enough to know that.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy, though, too.
Yeah.
He's the coach at the University of Florida.
Yeah.
He's not Steve Spurrier yet.
Right.
Okay. He's not Urban Meyer yet.
Right.
So he's not a guy that can – Steve Spurrier earned the right to say, I'm going to try the NFL. It had been 12 years. He had six titles. He had a national title. Urban Meyer earned the right to walk away. However, he walked away, he had two titles. Dan Mullen isn't that yet.
Tell me Gator fans' temperature towards Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I think, and I was texting back and forth with a buddy of mine who's a Gator fan today, too, who's all upset about this, and you got to hire Travaris Robinson, and shame on him for doing this. And I said, be careful.
Yeah.
The guy had the same record as Spurrier and Meyer after 32 games.
Right.
Be careful you don't become the school that always hates your coach.
I sort of feel like that's where we're headed.
Yeah, and it can be very careful that you're not the school that always hates your coach. This guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's not perfect.
Right.
He handles some things poorly, but he's pretty good. He can learn and grow and get better, too. I would tell you, be careful. Now, having said that, Matt Hayes, who wrote a story in Saturday Down South, just published this morning.
Yes, Monday morning.
Monday morning, and Matt and I spoke a little bit as he was writing it. And he told me, he said, look, he said, the administration is not happy.
Right.
There's a belief outside of the school with the NCAA and even internally that Mullen knew what he was doing in Seattle, that he texted the kid, that he told the kid he'd be there.
Florida's on probation for the first time in 30 years.
In 30 years.
It's not a huge deal. Yeah.
But it's a show cause.
But, yes.
Which is the NCAA's way. A show cause is the NCAA's way of saying, hey, this isn't a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And so it's not a huge deal. They're not losing.
It should be a slap on the wrist. Frank, listen, yeah. Again, and I don't want to go into the NCAA and how, but I will say this. My son played on a 7v7 team last year. Now, the rules changed, but when they went to New Orleans, they stopped in at LSU.
Right.
They stopped at Tulane.
Right.
And they were welcomed and shown around. And that's what they, it's a different rule now, but I mean, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, and I get it, but I think there's two different things.
But that's one of many incidents, Frank. There's been a few other ones that you need to talk about.
The 7-on-7 in Gainesville's one. His trip to Seattle's another one. That's the one.
No, I mean, I'm talking, there's other incidents that Mullen had, like
the
Missouri game and
the A&M
game and asking for 90,000 during a pandemic.
And I think I've talked to Scott about this a little bit. Scott Strickland's a great AD.
Right.
And he will handle it.
Right.
So my guess is, and again, I don't have any inside information on this, but my guess would be Scott Strickland, who's such a reasonable guy and he's really good, by the way. Do you know Scott very well?
Not real well.
Really?
Very nice man, though. Really good. Has done a great job.
Well respected all around college football. Mm-hmm. Done a great job. Will continue to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He's the right guy to manage Mullen because.
And he knows him.
And he knows him.
Knows him as well as anyone's going to know him.
And here's why he's the right guy. He's firm, but he's not a hothead.
Right.
Dan's a hothead.
Right.
So you can't have hothead and hothead.
Yeah.
Two hotheads, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Scott is not a hothead. That doesn't mean he's a pushover or he's soft because he's neither.
Right.
But he's not a hothead. I think he will bring Dan in at the end of the season, if not already, and say, listen, okay, here's where we are. We love you.
Yeah.
We want you to be the coach here for the longest time.
Right.
I want to support you. We're trying to build the facility. We're trying to get everything you want. But there's three things we're going to have to talk about.
Right.
We're going to have to talk about the 90,000 at A&M.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about inciting the riot at Missouri.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about some of this stuff. We're going to have to talk
even
about
the comments after the bowl game and the things that he said there that didn't.
That one didn't bother me as much as the other.
That's not terrible, but again, it was handled wrong.
I agree. And I want Dan Mullen to say, Scott, you're right.
Right.
We all need to grow up.
Right.
This was an emotional year.
Right.
With the fights we had, the battle all of college football had with the COVID and playing games and how hard our guys worked. And we thought we had something special here and we were so close. It was emotional for all of us, but I hear you. You're the boss, and I think you're right. And I think that I'm not worried about that. Do the Jets have some interest in him? Sounds like it.
Yeah, I can't believe for one second, just my opinion, I don't know anything that the Jets would hire Dan Mullen.
I don't think so. Not today.
Not yet.
And so I think Dan Mullen's going to be the Florida coach next year. I think he wants to be the Florida coach. He's got to hire two assistants.
See, Ryan Day came out and immediately squashed any kind of talk about him going to the NFL.
Right.
Ryan Day's name was mentioned on Sunday.
Right.
By Sunday morning,
the
insiders, Adam Schefters and of the world, saying Ryan Day is not a candidate to go to the NFL.
Right.
Dan Mullen hasn't done that.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll. I think he'll be the guy that doesn't.
Agree.
I think that
Spurrier wouldn't do it either.
Correct. Billy Donovan didn't do it.
That's right.
I think you're gonna have to. I've said this for over a year now.
But again, those guys had a little bit. I know Dan Mullen had the same record.
I agree.
A little bit better.
They had
pedigree.
Done more when it started. No
question. Resume a little more.
When
impressive.
It started happening, they had done more.
Yes.
But I said this. I said the good of Billy Donovan was he was great.
Yeah.
The bad was you always knew he was trying the NBA at some point. The good of Steve Spurrier is that he was great. The bad is you always knew he was trying the NFL at some point. I think Dan Mullen is not great yet, but really good and might be great.
and might try the NFL.
But he's going to try the NFL. Yeah. The guys that are rumored to do it always try it. David Shaw is an exception at Stanford.
Yeah.
But most of the guys who are rumored to try the NFL eventually try.
I think there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, so putting a wrap on football, I think.
I want to talk about the assistants.
Okay, okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean.
The two guys.
So he fired two secondary coaches.
Yeah. Ron English and Torian Gray.
Right. And is choosing to keep Grantham.
Right. All right, okay, go ahead.
I know a Florida fan. I don't. Grantham did have the eighth best defense in the country 2 years ago. I know Dan's extremely loyal. Got no problem with that part of it. Also know Florida fans, though. And next year, in whatever game it happens, and when it happens, they're going to lose their minds when, you understand, Todd Grantham gave up over, it's a different world now, I understand that. Todd Grantham gave up more than 600 yards three times this year, previously in Gator history twice. It's happened.
Okay.
It was an awful year
defensively. Right.
I mean, if you go back to the first touchdown pass with Oklahoma and number 13.
Steiner.
Yeah. Is shaded in, and the kid's got the whole half a field to run to. And you could just tell that I'm pretty sure that we wouldn't want that kid standing there. Them not getting lined up yet. Still, you wonder, how could you have an eighth-ranked defense in the country and be this bad the following year?
Well, I got a bunch of
So let's start with Grantham. Why is he coming back?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Let me answer your question with a question.
Okay.
Do you think Todd Grantham's a bad coach, or he's a coach that had a bad year? Because he clearly had a bad year.
Right.
That's not just bad players. Is he a bad coach, or is he
I think there's an M.O.
year?
With him, and it's sort of, I think it's...
Year three?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like at all the other places, you know, start out like a house of fire, and then gets a little progressively...
Because here's what
worse.
I think.
So, I don't know.
And one thing I like about Dan Mullen, that pissiness, feistiness about him, no one's going to tell him who to fire.
That's correct.
And I think he believes Grantham's a good coach.
Yeah.
Had a bad year.
Yeah.
And didn't have any good players.
Right.
That's what I think he believes. I'm okay with that. I know fans love to fire the coach.
Oh, sure,
bro. Fans love to hang the coach.
Sure, they
love to shoot the coach. Every fan loves to get rid of the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were eighth in the country in defense. And by the way, that's not with Alabama level NFL guys.
No.
Okay. It's not like they're eighth in the country in defense.
Right.
And 10 guys went in the first round.
Right.
They had Zuniga, who may be okay in the NFL. They have Grenard, who's an NFL backup and probably projects to be.
Really good college players.
Great. Oh, yeah. Very good college players. But my point is.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, so it's not like he was loaded with first-round draft picks.
Right.
And they were eighth in the country in defense in an offensive era.
Did have a first-round pick at corner.
He did. who was okay? Wasn't great. So my point is, I would not fire Grantham.
Okay.
Now.
You would not fire him.
I would not. All but right. Now I want to see the year. Now he's got. I would tell him, we can't do this again.
Yeah.
We can't have all these blown coverages.
Yeah.
But they have not been blown coverage you under him.
No.
They haven't.
They were this year.
They
but
were.
Not
so,
previous.
So I'm okay with them not firing him. Dan, they need more ballers on defense, bro. They got to get some of those fours and fives.
Yeah.
Gervon Dexter needs to be what he's supposed to be.
Yep.
They need him. This guy, DeJuan Black, has to be great.
Yep.
The
kid from Palmetto has got
to
be great.
Palmetto kid's got to be great.
Yep.
Kyer Elam's got to take the next step.
Yep.
In all due respect, they've had a lot of games with Chester Kimbrough and Jaden Hill and Donovan Steiner and
Stewart.
And Brad Stewart's a little better, but a lot of guys back there. Remember now.
Sean Davis.
Sean Davis actually might be the most talented of all of them.
Yeah.
But there's an awful lot of guys over the years, guys like Brian Poole, guys like Marcus May, guys like Keanu Neal, that all became good NFL players.
Yeah.
This group isn't that.
Okay.
This is not a group of good NFL players back there. Do you agree or disagree?
I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't look special. So what of the deposed defensive back coaches?
Yeah, yeah. The word, and again, this judged by Matt Hayes and his, I think the word is that, and the belief is, that they were caught up in the recruiting thing, and they had to go. I'm not even sure Mullen's the one to pull the plug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least that's what the implications are. Travarius Robinson's out there.
Yeah,
he's really
great
good,
recruiter.
Great recruiter, pretty good coach too.
Yep.
No, he's both. He's recruiter coach.
Go get him.
Everybody think, and here's why I think it's kind of significant to get him. back to your fan thing. Mm-hmm. That's a name the fans
they know. Yeah,
fan. You know who fan? I say that
might steady the ship a little bit.
I tell everyone asked me who the Jaguar fans are gonna Jaguars are gonna hire as a coach, and we're doing the show on Monday morning.
Yeah,
when we tape this podcast, it's a Jaguar thing. Doug Marrone just gotten fired, so they'll talk mm-hmm. about who the next coach will be.
Right.
I say this all the time. You know who fans want? Someone they've heard of.
No doubt about
every
it.
Every fan, you ask fans who they want,
because I'll
they
give
want
you a
someone
perfect
they've
example.
Heard of.
I was laying around on January 1st, flipping on the old Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
And I learned, even though it's not, is it the Peach Bowl still?
It's still called the Peach Bowl.
And I learned a lot about a certain defensive coordinator from Cincinnati.
Is it right?
I didn't know a damn thing about
but
him.
Now you know what he is?
Now I know, and I heard all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, he'd be a good fit at Florida.
Correct.
But guess where I hear he's going to be a fit at now? LSU. Yeah.
Well,
so I'm like, well, but, what are we doing?
But guess what he just became? A guy you've heard of.
Right, exactly. People,
fans want guys they've heard of, and Travers Robinson is a guy. So we'll see. So that's football.
Yeah.
They'll hire two coaches. I think they had a good recruiting year. Next year's a transition year.
Yeah.
Next year the team looks and feels different.
Okay, so it's so early. I don't want to do this.
Do it anyway.
The expectation. What should the expectation be at Florida with Dan Mullen? Yeah. If Dan Mullen, you got to go. You know, what do? You win the East again?
I think the expectation needs to be you and Georgia battle it out for the East.
Play for the title.
Yes,
play for the division.
I think if you haven't gotten there, then he has failed.
Yeah.
If you're going to drop back to being 7-5
right.
and behind Georgia and Kentucky,
yeah.
then you fail, or whoever.
I would agree.
Then you fail. So,
right.
so the expectation needs to be it's back, it's lofty.
By the way, I, again, you know me, I'm bullish on Emory Jones.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be a good football player.
I do too.
Did he have a couple bad throws? Yeah, but I also saw.
I'm not worried about Emory.
I'm telling you, and again, is he going to throw for 4,400 yards? No. But can he throw for 3,000 yards? Yes.
And rush for 800.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I totally agree with you.
So.
All right. So that's football.
Yep.
Quick thought before we get out of here.
Uh-huh.
Like the basketball team. What
proud of them.
What a gutsy, tough.
Proud of them.
Yeah, I am too.
So happy for Mike White and the kids and Keontae being there
Me too.
On Saturday afternoon.
100%.
It was just. It was fun. Now at 78-70,
yeah.
I was starting to count my chickens, and I said, well, they made it a little bit hairy.
Made it, well, when Locke missed a three at 78-70,
yeah.
and Lewis gets the rebound, you got to kick it out.
Yeah.
That's a young player.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to put it back up,
right.
That's another 30 seconds.
But the big story with the Hoop team, you can name all the names you want, is the Castleton kid. I mean, I thought he would get – look, he had a good game – before everything,
right?
But to go against LSU, get two quick fouls.
Right.
I'm like, I figured this is who he's going to be.
Correct.
He's going to get pushed around in the conference, and then to come out and outscore the LSU team in the beginning of the second half was quite impressive.
He's a good player.
He's good.
He's a center. You don't have any centers anymore.
He's good.
DeRuji's good.
DeRuji, yes.
And so I will tell you this: they have a 7-man rotation.
Yeah.
The starters plus Appleby and Payne,
yeah.
they're pretty good.
Yeah.
If Keontae was there, that 8-man rotation would be really good.
Yeah.
It would be really good. But, you know what? Again, we do this on Mondays.
Yeah.
I don't know when you're going to be listening to it, but they play Alabama on Tuesday, Kentucky on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm excited about where they are.
He's got the schedule down, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm the Hoop Beat Reporter.
Hoop guys
I'm the podcast
in.
Basketball Beat
That's
Reporter.
Well done.
Folks, that is our podcast. That's all things Gators, all things Orange and Blue.
Yeah, and thank you, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, best in the business. You can visit se-ortho.com for all the information you need to know if you need some help. Have a great week, Frank.
You too, Eric.